Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, babe!
Welcome one and all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. We're all inclusive here at And the Podcast Will Rock. That's right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Our loyal listeners, our followers, all of you guys, we appreciate you. If it's your first time here, welcome. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. We're nearing the end very, very soon. Not too soon, but soon. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling? Is the end in sight, and does it make you sad?
It does a little bit. And again, we're still kind of going back and forth. What do we do after 25 weeks from now? But I was more overwhelmed with feelings of gratitude because this week actually is our two-year anniversary. Since we started the thing, so we've done two complete years covering Van Halen. I think we only missed 1 week in there. You had some important gig or something happening that we missed. But other than that, we've been on every single week. So I guess this is the kickoff for us for season three. But we kind of been going by the years. I know everyone's asking why the hell do you have seasons for podcasts? Makes no sense. I totally get that. Everybody does. Kevin Brown on his Queen show does seasons every 10 episodes. So he's going to have like 87 seasons by the time he's done. It's just crazy.
Does he take breaks, like a long period, like a summer breaks in between? No, of course not. Well, then it's not a season, Kevin. Come on, get it together.
But just out of the blue on like a week or two goes, oh, we're in season five now. It's season five. You guys, you're only a year old. My goodness. But right, anyway, yeah. In order to properly celebrate, we had to bring back a fan favorite, the one and only Mark Giver, that very special patented intro as only you can do.
You know her, you love her, you love her hot takes, her analysis, and basically her fandom. And what better person to bring onto a Van Halen podcast than a true blue Van Halen fan? Please welcome Kelsey Van Halen herself. How you doing, Kelsey? Welcome back.
I'm wonderful now that I'm here. It's so good to be back, of course. I'm excited. And you guys started talking about the end. That makes me sad. Let's not talk about that yet. Come on. We're not there. We still got
we're not there.
25 weeks. Yeah, we still got plenty.
25 weeks.
I bring it up just to kind of keep me grounded to the reality of it all, you know? But you're right. 25 weeks. We still got quite some time. And not to mention, We will probably finish up an album or two. So then we've got live shows. So that's extra content for you guys out there. So, so we're not quite done yet. There's still some time. We still got some time, but nevertheless, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the here and now. What do you say, Corey? Anything going on over at Van Halen News Desk that we want to share with the class?
Sure, there's a few new articles on there. I know Eric Senich posted one about David Lee Roth's temporary sex office. Don Dokken came out and said they're actually working on a Dokken documentary for Netflix. They did one on
Kicks. That's cool.
Twisted Sister had one on there. And now he says it's making a movie about Dokken from the 80s akin to Motley Crue's biopic. So it might not be a documentary. It might be a cast thing. But they took him down to the old whiskey and asked him, okay, what kind of stories do you have with the whiskey? And he said, well, upstairs at the whiskey, there was three dressing rooms and only one bathroom. And you had, you know, nights where it was like four or five bands on the bill and nobody could use the bathroom because David Lee Roth was using it as his temporary sex office. So he said, you constantly had rock and roll heroes banging on the door saying, get the hell out of there. We got to pee. I'll be out in a minute. So David Lee Roth apparently loves using the bathroom as his temporary sex office. That's the important information you can get only from the Van Halen News Desk.
Period. I mean, and who doesn't? Am I right? Like, who doesn't love using the public green room restroom as your personal sex office? I mean, look, if you're David Lee Roth, that's Damn it, Ryan stole my joke. Ryan Powell lurking in the chat. I was about to say, if Dokken doesn't take an opportunity, even if it is a real documentary or kind of a biopic, call it documented with two Ks. And if they don't do that, then that's absolutely a missed opportunity, and no one deserves to see it if that's the case. Yeah, I'll say it. There you go.
Yep. And Tom says, thank God for temporary. Yeah, I don't think he's still there using it as his sex office.
Right.
Thankfully.
He might be. That's for all we know.
Do you want me to play that video of the song that we had?
I really don't.
Okay, I'll just move on then. There's an interview with Paul Gilbert from the band Mr. Big, who is just about to wrap up their career, at least touring-wise, talking about how Van Halen 2 is a life-changing record for him. So that's a good little snippet of an interview you can catch on the news desk. And we also have a little snippet of an interview from Rick Emmett from Triumph, talking about the US Festival and how it wasn't Van Halen's best moment. Because some people claim, I don't know who these people are, that Triumph kind of stole the show May 29th, 1983 on Heavy Metal Day. I'm not a huge Triumph fan, even though they're a Canadian power trio. I'll just leave it at that. But he talked about how Van Halen maybe partied a little too much during the day, and that's why they were off their game a little bit during that performance.
Which happens to the best of them.
Yeah, we've already covered on the show quite a bit. And finally, a little tidbit from Alice Cooper. And he claims in an interview that Eddie Van Halen really wanted a guitar lesson from Glenn Campbell.
Wow.
It's kind of well known in guitar circles. Glenn Campbell, actually a hell of a guitar player. I'm not a guitar player. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're a guitar player. Do you appreciate the sonic guitar stylings of one Glenn Campbell?
I appreciate it, and I definitely respect the man. I guess if I'm being completely honest, I never would have really considered that he might be super incredible. I guess it makes sense, I guess, if you take a step back and look at his body of work. And I mean, if you're just really much a super fan of the group, then you probably would know that. I've never seen him play live, so that probably has a lot to do with the fact that he was never on my radar in terms of guitar inspirations, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, our listeners included, that could tell me something about Glenn Campbell. So if he says it, then it must be true.
Well, Scott Haskin asks, not Richie Blackmore, and no, we covered that. But when Steve Rose was on the show, Richie Blackmore was a huge douchebag to Eddie Van Halen, so we will not besmirch our show anymore by mentioning Mr. Blackmore.
I was gonna say when I read his book, when I read Eruption, the only two guitar players that he really talked about were Tony Iommi and Eric Clapton. Those were the two that he could have mentioned Glenn Campbell. I don't remember, but like those were the only two that I really, cause I like, as a girl who loves guitar players, like I'm always very curious of like, I would love to know who Eddie took after. Cause you know, he's Eddie. So like, but yeah, those were the only two that he really talked about. Other than that, like, I mean, you've seen interviews with him, like when they bring up like Randy Rhodes or like someone else that's like him. He literally is just like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't really, yeah. Other than that, but yeah, those are the only two I remember.
Jerry Reed is better and Roy Clark is the best. They're both better actors, but I don't know, Mark, would you say Roy Clark is a better guitar player than Glenn Campbell?
No, okay. I would not.
Chaz, you're wrong again. We'll get rid of that comment. That's Doc says that. Opinion. How about Chet Atkins? He got a vote.
Chet Atkins, I might say. Yeah, I might agree with Chet Atkins.
Les Paul.
Oh, yeah, and Les Paul.
And Les Paul, that's kinda, of course.
That's low-hanging fruit. Same with Albert Lee.
Everyone's just going to start naming like all their favorite guitar players that don't get enough.
Yeah, no, he definitely said that too.
Yeah. Oh, here's another vote for Jerry Reed and Roy Clark there from Jeff Brewer. So, but go and read the story, Alice Cooper, because Eddie kind of did it in a roundabout way. Like, hey, Alice, I want to come play golf. And knowing that Glenn Campbell like lived down the street from Alice Cooper. So he's like, oh, how's my golf game? Well, as a golfer, you're a pretty good guitar player. He's like, oh, well, you know, Glenn Campbell still lived near you. I'd really like a guitar lesson, that kind of thing. So
that's
you can find
brilliant.
All that. It is. Oh, Eddie was a smart dude.
He was.
You can find all that and more at the Van Halen News Desk, www.vhnd.com.
Hell yeah. We love those guys. That is a move. That's a Mark Meyer move right there, if I've ever heard it. It's like, let me find a way to weasel my way into an activity that I know I'm not good at. And this is like, oh, hey, by the way, it's like, where's, you know, just to get in to meet somebody else. Like, that's a, you know, I like to think it's not, and not to say that Eddie did that in a sleazy way, but it's just kind of like, I see what you're doing. And it's like, I acknowledge it, but I like to think I don't do it in a sleazy way. But that is a move I would absolutely do. It's like, I'm going to go try and play golf with Alice Cooper just so I can go meet Glenn Campbell.
Well, only Eddie can pull that off. That's like, that's true. That's yeah. the real truth. Yep. Like, that's only true. Eddie can do that.
Some good videos of Roy Clark, amazing life. I've only ever saw him on Hee Haw, which I don't think showcased his talents, but I'll take your word for it. I'm not a big country guy, so I'll take the word for it. Roy Clark, pretty talented dude though.
A lot of those country musicians, I mean, even today, have like deep like rock and blues roots, so like their playing is if you get them by themselves, sometimes you can hear them really showcase it in a live setting, but then when they're playing country, it really limits what they can do. These days, country's trying to be rock and sometimes metal and rap, and I don't understand that, but whatever. Yeah. But I know that like some of the really, really, really talented musicians out there play country music, and you never know how good they truly are because they're kind of pigeonholed in the genre. So if they say Roy Clark was actually pretty superb, then I believe it. I believe it.
Brad Paisley plays Hot for Teacher in his live show. I've seen him do it a few times.
I'm glad you brought him up. Brad Paisley is a very good example of like, he is really, really damn good. Mm-hmm. Say what you will about his music personally, but if you listen to him just play, he's good. He's very good. So good call.
So is Keith Urban. Keith Urban's really good too. He's a really great guitar player.
I believe it.
Yeah.
There's talented folks in country. I know you're Taylor Swift, I think, is a talented young lady. I know Mark's not really a fan, but look what she's doing. She's arguably the most famous person on the planet right now, and
yeah,
a billionaire for it.
Yeah, I've finally like succumbed to like I do not hate Taylor Swift. I don't even hate it, like on principle or anything like that. I actually kind of respect what she has been doing the last few years. Is her music my vibe? Hell no. And it never will be.
I agree with that.
Yep. Do I think she's a great songwriter? Not really. But again, it's not my vibe. But she's made billions of people happy. She's made a ton of money. She doesn't appear to be a dick about it. So that's good. You know, a lot of times for her big shows, it really stimulates the economy of the cities that she's a part of. And, you know, with our nation, at least, not, I don't know about yours, Corey's, but ours, like our economy is always in the shitter. So, I mean, whatever helps.
So
helps.
Real.
So, too.
Yeah. Okay. So as long as she is doing these shows, performing at like a top tier level that supposedly she does. And honestly, if she's doing 3 to 4 hour shows each night, salute you. That's difficult. That's very, very, very difficult. I don't think people really take that into consideration. But if she's doing that and she's continuing to do it and she's still not a dick about it, then make your money, girl. That's cool. My only problem, I think my biggest problem with Taylor is not so much her, it's her fans. And but that's a longer conversation for another day. But hey, if you want to hear me rant about it, you know what? We'll make a Patreon tier for you.
Mark rants about Taylor Swift. I tell you, your economy is in the tank. We have Canadian cities begging Taylor Swift to come play here.
And, oh my gosh.
She's doing 6 shows in Toronto and 5 shows in Vancouver, and that's a Canadian tour. And everywhere else is just like, please come. We need some help because Swifties come from all over. We got a stadium in Saskatchewan. Only holds about 35,000, but she could do a week of shows here and sell out everyone. And
yeah, she could do like a quick residency over there just to help boost the economy and just make a lot of good Canadian people happy.
Yeah. Ryan telling the story of the time Ed O'Neill met Taylor Swift. And she came up and said hi to him, and he knew she was famous, but didn't know who she was. So he took a selfie with her and sent it to his daughter and said, "Who is this?" And she's like, "Oh my God, that's Taylor Swift." Oh yeah, that's how I know her.
That girl.
Ed O'Neill can be forgiven for not knowing who Taylor Swift is by face. It's like, but at least he knew is like, this is obviously a famous person. I just don't know who it is. Like that's all well and good. So
that's funny.
Yeah, your Canadian cities are begging for a Taylor show. Meanwhile, I'm over here in Nashville just be like, hey, Sleep Token, please come here so I can watch you guys before I've had enough. But
right.
Again, another conversation for another day. So what else is going on in Van Halen news?
That's about it. I think we can it back over to you to talk about the Twitter poll. Little contentious, I understand.
Yes, let's talk about this.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I mentioned to Corey off air about it got heated at one point. It got really heated in the conversation. And on the surface, I go, but why? Well, you know, we're all civilized people, right? Van Halen fans, we never argue about Van Halen songs at all. Never. We certainly don't argue about who's singing in the band at the time. We never do that. So why is it happening all of a sudden? And I had my answer right away because we discussed last week a Sammy Hagar era song. And I know there's a lot of you out there that are just on the principle that it's the Hagar era, you're going to go, Fooey and Pasha, downvote. I don't even need to hear the song. It's not Dave. It's not Van Halen. And number one, you're wrong. Number two, grow up. And number three, why? I don't understand. I'll never understand it. So I looked at the poll, and it's a whopping, this is kind of funny. It's technically 70%, but I'll say it. A 69.9% What Dreams Are Made Of. Nice. With a 30%, The Dream Is Over. For a while there, it was a 60-40 split for like, I think 2 days, it was 60-40. And I was kind of worried that it was going to shift to 50-50 and then possibly a 51-49 Dream Is Over. And that would have made me really sad with all of you because I don't understand why so much hate. And so I had to take a look here. Actually, and before I do that, I'm going to throw it to Kelsey. Kelsey, tell me your thoughts on Can't Stop Loving You.
I absolutely adore this song. So, like, I looked at the poll because I saw you post it and I was like, oh, I know for sure this is going to be, like, it's going to disappoint me looking at the results. And it did. And I almost said something and for whatever reason, I didn't. And then seeing that you said that it got so heated, I'm almost glad that I didn't, because I was like, I don't know how I would have just like been able to go through all that and heard about it. But I don't know. It makes me sad when people are like, oh, it's Sammy, so I'm not going to listen to it, because there's so much good music in that era from the Van Halen brothers and from Mike and from Sammy. And I think I almost tweeted this the other day that Four Unlawful is becoming one of my favorite albums of all time and one of my favorite Van Halen albums. And I'm like I said, it makes me sad because I'm like, you're missing out on so much good Van Halen just because it's not Dave. And so I don't know. That's how I feel about it. I always say Eddie sounds good regardless, so I'll listen to it. So
that's a very good diplomatic and honest answer. And we were kind of hoping, even for the folks that were just sort of like, it's not for me. And it's like, that would have been fine. But instead we got things like this, and I'm just going to start off from friend of the show and patron So we get to read his tweets out loud on the air. If you want your tweets guaranteed read on the air, join the Patreon, you guys. I'm going to keep talking about the Patreon probably every 5 seconds just because I want all of you to join us in this venture. And a lot of you have, so thank you. But starting off, let's just right away, probably the cause of where it got heated. Heath McCoy, friend of the show, not to be confused with Heath Murphy, but Heath McCoy, he goes to say, "My Van Halen dudes, this is fucking nauseating. Epitomizes the lamest side of Van Hagar. Strong Sammy lyrics? Are you kidding? This is a Hallmark card, the weak sequel to When It's Love." Ooh. "Which is almost as bad, but at least that was interesting musically." He goes on to say, "The production on balance was way too polished, contributing greatly to this song's vanilla-ness. Bruce Fairbairn was great for bands suited to a slicker sheen like Bon Jovi or Loverboy, but all kinds of wrong for Van Halen. P.S. Stop picking on Jump lyrically. The lyrics are minimalist, but it's a cool offbeat metaphor for taking chances in life." I get it, but the lyrics are still stupid. He says, "In Sammy's hands, the same message might have been another damn Hallmark card like this. Having said this, another great show, fellas." So he ends it on a positive note. And that's good because, you know, Heath is a friend of the show. But man, he does not stop loving you. Corey, what are your thoughts on Heath's little manifesto?
Well, first of all, can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. Isn't minimalist. It's just dumb. Sorry.
Hey, that's
sorry.
A bar. I'm not going to lie. That's a bar.
Like, melodically, yes. Lyrically, what the hell?
But, you know? But I still like Jump. Like, and I think they're fine. I also thought the lyrics in this one were fine. He's going for a vibe, and he hit it. What's wrong with Hallmark cards? They make a lot of money. My in-laws still sell, you know, they send cards for everything. Happy Halloween cards. Do you know they made such a useless card? We still get that shit in the mail, so people like Hallmark. What's way too polished? Oh, the album sounds too good. Yeah, I don't buy that. I like the fact that Balance sounds good. I like the fact that Foreign Lawful sounds good, too. You know, a different kind of good, but, you know, it sounds great. It's a great-sounding album. So the way too polished, I'm not in agree with or neither the lyrics, but I'm sorry he didn't like it. He's not really a ballad dude, but he likes a lot of Sammy stuff. He's not a Sammy hater. Per se, he just doesn't like the Sammy ballad so much, and I can see how they're not everybody's cup of tea. But at least he's, you know, respectful about it and says another great show and stuff. Some of the replies, not so much.
And by the by, yes, everyone loves Hallmark. People love Hallmark so much they built an empire, and now they're a classic mainstay television network. So, you know, say what you will about Hallmark.
It was a reference to the music industry. It was actually deep. No, it wasn't. It was about a jukebox, Chaz. It's not that fucking deep.
But moving on, Ryan Powell says, "To dismiss this as just a pop song completely undersells the underlying complexity and color hidden beneath the pop veneer. This one deserves a manifesto." Sorry, Mark. Don't apologize to me. I'm curious. Ryan, no one does it better than Ryan. So here we go. He goes on to say, "The structure is sheer perfection, accessible, sure, and perfectly suited to a pop ballad. But it doesn't just rely on the 1-4-5 one would expect from a fluff pop song." That's a theory reference. Good job. The ostinato soaring over the progression, creating some interesting suspended chords. And just as you get comfortable, it throws the first of many curveballs as it shifts into a minor feel by moving to the fourth, which is major. But Sam's melody centers it around the minor second. Correct. I'd love to do a full analysis of the composition, but for relative brevity, I'll note that the pre-chorus one is a completely different progression than pre-chorus two, a full modulation, which is also different from the bridge and pre-chorus three. Beautiful. Every performance in this song shines. Sammy sounds great with a hook-filled soaring melody that approaches the heights of dreams, and the lyrics are top-notch ballad. It's not just campy love song. There's conflict and tension while still optimistic. Yep, the episode covered much of Al's brilliance on this one, and Ed has so many lovely reserve flourishes, including a perfect for the song understated melodic solo. Agreed. Mike provides a tasteful foundation and, as noted, a nice suspension at the very end. This song reflects an effortless complexity that makes it seem like a simple pop song in how well it flows from one thing to the next, but still provides a ton of depth if you want to look for it. absolutely what dreams are made of. Ryan just nailing. He just, I love, never, Ryan, never apologize for your manifestos or your manifestos. However, this was a long one. This was like seven tweets. But I appreciate it. And it was very good. Well thought out. And I love that. And you even threw in some music theory, lingo, which I can appreciate, although it does give me Vietnam flashbacks of college. So, Tom says, I did a full modulation once. I get what he's doing there, and I don't
Do you know what that's from? Do you know what it's from, Mark? You're pretty young. Do you know what this reference is from?
I know
Kelsey
that,
doesn't. She's way too young.
I know that it's from been a movie. Yeah, I know it's been referenced from other... is it from Strange Brew?
No, it's actually from Johnny Dangerously.
Johnny Dangerously. Shit, I don't know why I thought Strange Brew.
Joe Piscopo, Michael Keaton.
That's right. I've heard it referenced like in other media forms. So I was like, wait a minute.
Michael Triplett got it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Michael. Good job. So, but no, yeah. That's good stuff, Ryan. So moving on, Kevin Brown says, I have a huge sentimental attachment to this song, but objectively, it's beautifully put together. A great example of those Van Halen songs that have breathing room for all the individual parts shine out. I've always loved the bridge and lead into the solo. Hashtag what dreams are made of. So, yeah, there you go. Look, I've mentioned nostalgia, I think, in the show, and I remember that, you know, if you have a personal connection to the song, whether or not it's objectively good or bad, it's like if it means something to you because of a personal connection, then you're going to automatically say, like, yay, absolutely, I love it. And there's nothing wrong with that. You have a connection. That's what music's supposed to do, supposed to connect you. Scott Monroe says, not my favorite off balance by a long shot, but it's easily what dreams are made of for several nostalgic and objective reasons. Manifesto inbound. Here he goes. Let's start with nostalgia, which, as Mark so rightly reminds us, is a powerful thing. This was the first Van Halen album I owned as a kid, and I listened to it a bazillion times over the course of a few years. I dig the song sequencing right after Seventh Seal's dark and moody opening Odyssey. Can't Stop Loving You is light, lovely pop in contrast, with so many flourishes from all bandmates. Sammy's lyrics are on par with most of his Van Halen ballads. It's straightforward and fine. Vocally, though, it's a real standout. His intonation and note holding on Only to Surrender is a chef's kiss. Ed, Al, and Mike all have moments to shine, and they do so without overshadowing one another. Ed's solo isn't flashy. It's imbued with emotion and personality. Understated, but memorable. I love Can't Stop Loving You. It's a pop side of Van Halen we could have only gotten in the Hagar era, and I'm grateful it and many more tracks on balance were the soundtrack of my youth. And then he went on to note how many bots named Madeline liked his tweets. So that's a hilarious little aside, but no, thank you so much, Scott, man. Yeah, it was, I love it. I love the manifestos, especially when you guys are full of passion, and that those are passionate. And I agree with all that assessment. Brad Gould says, a fun and lighthearted song with well executed and recorded. Sammy's vocal performance is top flight, and Eddie shows once again how to play the song. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Yeah, we mentioned the solo and how the solo is not his flashiest. It's not the longest. Certainly, I don't know if I would put it in a overall top 10, but as a personal favorite, I love it. I think it's great because he plays it to the song. He's not showing out where, when he very much could if he wanted to, and if he did, it would still fit. But I like he went the subtle approach. So good assessment there. Our buddy Tom Armbruster says, if the worst thing you can say is that it's not a fire-breathing guitar pyrotechnic showcase that we're used to from the band, well, that leaves a lot of room for this melodic jewel to shine in the rough. Yes, if that is the worst thing you can say about it. So, yeah, it's not their heaviest song. It's not their most flashy, but, it, you know, it's a power ballad, and there's nothing wrong with power ballads, you guys. There's not. If David Lee could do power ballads, he would have, but he couldn't, and he can't. So take that for what it's worth. Greg Zito says, I know this track lacks a lot of things Van Halen fans expect, but there is something genuinely sweet about it. The guitar tone and restrained solo bring a different emotion to the song. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Absolutely. No arguments whatsoever. And then look at this. Scott Everett says about the perfect pop rock ballad. Nothing fancy for Van Halen, but still spectacular in every way. This is Sammy putting in the work lyrically. Interesting that the song is written from his wife's point of view about him in the middle of their divorce. I did not know that. Sorry, I got distracted. My cats are fighting. But yeah. I know it's weird screeching back there. I didn't know that was from his wife's point of view. I guess that's going to bring a new perspective in listening to the song from now on. So thank you so much, Scott, for bringing that to my attention, because I did not know. I was the
dangerous one either.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But here I thought the screeching was Christy falling through the ceiling again.
Don't even joke. No, she is safe and sound at her job. So she is nowhere near that hole. Jeff Brewer says, okay, not a horrible song per se. However, this song completely blows when you compare it to the songs that truly demonstrate what made Ed such a unique and exceptional musician. The band sounds good and Sam sings the cheese well, but it's still cheese. Van Halen Top 40 Bubblegum Pop.
I like cheese.
What's your point?
Yeah, what's wrong with cheese, dog?
Yeah, we hating cheese now, Jeff? What the hell?
Come on.
I did not sign up to do this podcast to hear cheese slandered like that, okay?
So real.
I won't have it, yeah. You know? I just won't. But thank you for your tweet, Jeff. We appreciate you. And then
ranting of a cheesehead.
Ranting of cheesehead. Yeah, exactly. Look, cheese is life. Yummy. Okay? Cheese is yummy, and not all cheese is great, but you still appreciate it for existing.
Right,
so, exactly. There it is. So that's there you go. That's all our patron tweets. Again, you guys, if you want your tweets guaranteed read, because we did have quite a few, then join the Patreon. Get in the conversation. Jeff orders his pizza with no cheese, just sauce. It's just bread with sauce on it. Honestly, when I was a kid, sometimes I would peel the cheese and toppings off and I just eat it that way and it was delicious. So hey, again, don't be slandering
Powell either. Ryan Powell is on fire tonight, I gotta tell you. I mean, I don't know what he's drinking here tonight, what he's manifesting or anything, but man, he is on point.
He was ready. He was absolutely ready. I love that. I think that's it, unless I'm just gonna make sure I did. Yeah, okay, cool. So there you go, there's the tweets. There, thank you guys so much for contributing and letting us know your thoughts. And to Heath McCoy, I'm gonna get you back on the show and be like, how you doing, bud? How you doing? Is that rant? No, we're all good.
Let's talk
all
about good, it
so. Well, you know what? Yeah, kudos to Kevin Brown for coming to his aid. Kevin Brown is just a prince, yep, among men. And he said, well, whenever, if anyone is going to pick on Heath Murphy, there's going to be an army behind him. And heading that army, the Maximus of our army, if you will, our Roman army, is Kevin Brown. So good on you, Kev.
Oh, yeah. Very good on you. He won't stand for it. So that's what I mean when I got heated. There was someone very, very, very much disagreed with Heath's assessment and would not let it go. And Kev jumped in and was like, hang on a second. And, you know, so look,
that's funny.
Have the conversations, you guys, but come on, keep it civil. Keep it civil. If it's going to get heated over a Van Halen song, then I just don't know what to say. Are you not entertained? Oh, I was thoroughly entertained.
Entertained.
Which is why I didn't jump in the conversation myself, because I knew somebody would. And lo and behold, Kevin Brown, the hero. Not all heroes wear capes.
Damn. That's right.
There you go. All right.
They are 4 feet tall.
They, don't start. You know,
I'm going to find out on Tuesday morning, actually, because Monday I'm on my way to Saskatoon to see Kiss in Saskatoon.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next morning.
Exciting.
Yeah. Next morning, me and Cam are going to go out to Denny's and have a little breakfast and actually meet face to face. So looking forward to that.
Kicking that door. What the fuck's up, Denny's? We're here to fuck shit up. Make that grand slam, your bitch.
Again, see. I get this wrong every time. I say Kevin's 4 feet. He has to correct me. It's 4'11". So sorry, Kevin.
As a short, keen advocator, I'll have no slander of that as well. So that's good stuff. Make sure to take pictures. I want to see, because like, I don't know how tall you are, Corey, but I assume you're tall.
I'm going to look 8'3" when I stand next to Kevin, I tell you.
Oh, my God.
You're going to look like Thomas standing next to Mariano.
That's right.
That was shocking.
Yeah, I
wasn't prepared for that. But that's a digression, you guys. What you're here for is our next favorite thing. The next favorite thing is not the spinning of the wheel. It's the thing before it. Raise your glasses. Toast with me. Say it with me. Manifestations. All right. We're going to go over to the Discord and check out. You see, if you join the Patreon, you guys, you can join the Discord and keep the conversation rolling. And
cheers.
Honestly, the Discord conversations are some of my favorites just because you guys, I can't keep up, but I love it because I'm entertained and I love the conversations in there. So keep it up. We had a lot of manifestations for this one. People were excited for us to get back on the show, apparently. So Scott Monroe wants Jamie's crying. Wouldn't be mad about that. We got Josh wants Josephina because he said he's sick and that should finish him. Hashtag apologies to Gary.
Well, we don't want to finish Josh off. No, we want him to feel better. So maybe not Josephina today.
Maybe not. Hopefully not. Yeah. Jeff said, somebody get me a doctor. And there you go. So if you're feeling sick, Josh, that's what you need. You don't need Josephina.
I'd love to hear that song.
It might be time. Our new friend, Michael, in the Patreons, he wants Jamie's crying as well. So there's two. And let's see. And then, of course, old Chaz Mataz, he wants some feckin' spanked because he enjoys chaos and he just wants to see Corey's reaction. I, too, want to see Corey's reaction as well, but we'll save it for when it happens.
After I was so good on his Rush show, which actually dropped yesterday or today, I can't remember which, but my appearance on the Rush Rash show is out now. And I got to say, I knocked it out of the park. I was maybe the best guest he's ever had. So he won't tell you that because he's humble, but I'll let you know that it's a really, really good episode.
That one's on my listening queue probably for tomorrow during my workday. So I'm very, very excited to listen to how you just absolutely nail it. Tom Armbruster says Summer Nights. He wants Summer Nights. I'm shocked we haven't spun that one yet.
I would love to talk about that song.
Well, we shall see. Ryan Powell, he said he almost forgot, but he made it just in time. He wants The Dream Is Over, which would be really cool because at this point, I'm so used to hearing just the little tiny segment we play every once in a while when someone downvotes that it's like I've almost forgotten how the rest of that song goes.
Such a banger.
Yeah, I just know the little small part of it. Chaz says he's still basking in the afterglow. I'm assuming for your Rush Rash show. And then Kevin Brown, he says he's going to double down on Summer Nights. So we've got some Summer Nights, and we've got some Jamie's crying overall, like what people really want to hear. But I ask you, Kelsey, you're on the show, you're back on the show, and what Van Halen tune are you just itching to talk about?
Oh my gosh! Well, now oh my gosh. Summer Nights would be wonderful. That's definitely one of my favorites of theirs, especially off 5150. Let me see the wheel. Oh my gosh. Dance the Night Away would be great. I love that song. Or Somebody Get Me a Doctor. That opening riff is like changed my life the first time I heard it, so I would love to talk about that song. Such a great song.
Ooh.
Let's do it.
One of those. Just kind of like throwing it to the wind. That's fine. I respect it. We're getting down to the wire, so I feel like that's allowed. Corey, how about yourself?
I love Kelsey. Just basically anything. As long as
so real. Hand,
whatever. Anything. Yeah.
But because we all love Kelsey, and she said that Foreign Lawful is quickly becoming one of her favorite records of all time, I'm going to manifest a track from that album. How about a little Top of the World?
Ooh, my man.
Hey, baby.
Would not be mad about it. Would not be mad about it at all. Let's see. We've still got a few off of some of our early
Van Halens.
There's the wheel for you. Yeah, there's the wheel.
Tell you what. House of Pain too.
That would finish off 1984. Yeah,
it really would. But I gotta say, I could always manifest a Sammy tune, but I think I'd really want to. I want to listen to Atomic Punk.
Oh, I was gonna say that one. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm gonna try and manifest that one. I'm not going to proxy manifest a song, because if we end up spinning that would be very, very sad.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the other guest here with us tonight to talk about it. So if we spin it, that will be such a bummer. But it is what it is. We're out of mulligans, so if we spin it, we're talking about it. So there you go. There you have it. Let's see. We have 3 on the panel here. How many lurkers do we have?
We have 10 lurking right now.
Oh my god, you want to prime this thing 13 times?
Sure, why not? Black and Blue. Oh, that's a great song.
That one, I think I would love to do. Actually, you know, Chaz, if you're paying attention, man, and
I like this, don't even want to look.
Don't, if it's too much work, don't do it, because what I'm gonna ask of you is probably a lot of work. But if possible, I'm curious to know which what track has been the most manifested, the most requested that we've done so far. That might like, again, that might take too much work, because you'd have to like go back and listen to every single episode again. Never mind.
We would have to pay Chaz for that. And
you're right.
Happening.
No.
Besides, I'm pretty sure the answer is Amsterdam, because you love your lady and want her on the show again. So you've requested Amsterdam a lot.
I have, but I know that Black and Blue has been requested a ton.
Yeah.
Every track,
I know you ate one too.
Whether or not it's people just trolling, I know Spanked has been requested quite heavily. So
that's right.
Yeah. Either way, though, so I'm just curious as to, I wonder, I put it to you, the audience, what song do you think is the most manifest in the show thus far? Get back to me on that. So, but if it's primed and if Sammy's ready backstage, what do you say we spin this thing?
Let's do it.
Go for Sammy.
It's going to be a good one, ladies and gentlemen.
That.
You really got me from Van Halen. Ooh, 1. Oh, damn, Kelsey continues her good luck streak.
Would have went crazy for a Little Dreamer, though. I really would have.
That's true. And look how close we were to humans being.
Oh, that's such a...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a great song, too.
We're going
Somebody
back.
Give me a doctor was close. Yeah. Atomic Punk was close.
It was close. Yeah, look at that. And Black and Blue was kind of close, but on the
Scott's
side.
Happy. One I actually know. There you go, Scott Haskin. Good for you, buddy.
Cheers.
I would hope you would know this one, but classic old school Van Halen. So all of you Rothians will be very happy that we're talking about this one.
This is fantastic, because Kevin Brown, I think, is still in the chat, and he's a huge Kinks fan. So I want to hear his comments on the Van Halen version versus the Kinks version, because to me, there's no comparison. Like, it's a great song, but Van Halen really kind of made it their own.
They really did. So much so that there's a whole generation, maybe multiple generations of fans that don't even realize this is a cover song, because it just feels very much like a Van Halen song. So get back to us on that one, Kevin. I'm sure you'll have plenty to say. There might be a lot of people might have something to say about this one, because in the course of the show, we have learned that a lot of the people are not down on Van Halen doing covers. Anytime we talk about Diver Down, it's just kind of like, why? It's the covers album. And like, it's a really good album. I don't understand why you guys are so upset. But as they said, the original cover tune, if you can call it that. But yeah, this is a classic Van Halen. So I'm curious to see what the chat is going to be on this one.
Oh, Chaz Charles emphatically says best rock cover band, period.
I mean,
I can't tell him he's wrong.
You're not wrong. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, if you're looking to insult him with that moniker, I don't think it works. I think, all caps. He's screaming. Stop screaming. We can hear you.
Here we go. In the conversation for best rock cover, period, 100%. I agree with that sentiment. Yeah, how about you guys?
Yeah, not to show my hand, but absolutely, I would agree with that. Now I will say it's been a hot second since I've listened to this one. As you guys know, I have put all listening of Van Halen on the back burner while we're doing this journey, unless we covered it. But any other track is just like, nope, I'm going into it as fresh as possible, only with the knowledge that I already had in my brain over the particular track. So this one, it's been a while since I've listened to. Maybe I might have a different opinion on it now. I don't know.
All right. What do you say we get right into it? Let's head way back to 1978. This is the first single off of Van Halen's debut album, You Really Got Me.
I'm sorry, that riff is one of the best hard rock, if you want to call it metal, sure, but just one of the best hard rock riffs ever. It just the tone of it, the simplicity of it, it puts you in the mood that you're supposed to be in. Like, it fits the vibe of what the song is. It just cooks right from the beginning.
How about you, Kelsey? What do you think early on? I could tell you're not a fan.
Oh, no. You didn't see me. I was just dancing, actually. No, I love, oh my gosh, that opening. Like, just, I think, hold on, let me figure out how to phrase this. I think, like, when Van Halen opens and it's just Eddie playing a riff, I think that's, like, one of their best ways they do it, because it's, like, shows you what you're expecting for the song, like, right off the bat, and he's always so good. And also, it's like hearing this, because it was the first single, it's like hearing this, it's like you're like, wait, I know this song, but this isn't the song, this is someone else, and it's what is the sound? And yeah, and his little licks in between the after the riffs and after Dave, and yeah, I think Eddie sounds great on the song. I think they completely like made it their own, and I love how sassy David is when he's talking. Like, I can almost see him like moving and talking to this on stage when I hear
it. Oh yeah, for sure.
I love Scott's comment here. The guitar is the girl and is giving Dave back some sass. Know that?
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
That's so funny. The harmonies, oh my god. I will always bring those up because they always sound so good. And I remember at least seeing, like, I don't know if it was from one of their live shows or from like a performance, of seeing them, and I like, there's a shot of Eddie just going grr, and I'm like, oh my god.
Hey Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and t-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
They sound so good. Like, it's just, they sound so good.
Ryan Powell says that riff, that tone, sent shockwaves through the industry.
No shit.
Absolutely. Made Josh buy a Phase 90. There you go.
Why wouldn't you? If you're an aspiring guitar player or just a musician, whatever, and you hear that, especially given the time frame of when that comes out, why wouldn't you want to play and sound exactly like that?
Right.
Just because it's infectious. That is, you talk about killer hooks, and Van Halen is so good about writing riffs that just really hook. I mean, both vocally and musically as well, but something about it, and I know they didn't write this one for sure, but I mean, if you didn't know they didn't write it, you would expect it sounds like a Van Halen song. That's what we mean. They absolutely made it their own. It absolutely sounds like something they would have come up with if they hadn't heard the original. And it just fits, man. It just I don't even know where to go about that. It just everything about this works. Oh, I will say, speaking on the harmonies as well, this was one of the Van Halen songs that utilized the harmonies that when I was younger really made me pay attention to harmonization. Because when I was younger, I could sing and I did singing, but I didn't take singing seriously at the time because I wanted to be a guitar player after, hearing Eddie Van Halen. But and I was aware of, vocalists throwing harmonies in their songs. Of course, I mean, harmonies are nothing new, but this song is, I guess maybe it was just because it was Van Halen. I don't know. But like this made me pay attention to the fact that harmonies can be utilized in such a way that is not only does it sound good for the song, but it's cool. Like, I don't know. Just to me, I grew up in a time where we were listening to music where harmonies were either not done, or if they're done, people, it just wasn't a cool thing to do because it was about like, no, be heavy, do some screaming, or don't do harmonies. Harmonies are stupid. Like, no, harmonies is not stupid. You're stupid if you just don't understand that harmonies are fucking great. But this was the song that was going like, oh, okay, you can make harmonies cool. Shout out to the original song for doing it beforehand, but still just the Mikey, Eddie, and Dave combo of harmonies is just chef's kiss.
Yummy.
Absolutely. I found a little tidbit on songsfacts.com about You Really Got Me. This is Van Halen's first single. They learned a bunch of King songs when they were just starting out, in part because David Lee Roth had one of their greatest hits albums. They often played them live at their shows when they were still a bar band. David said, quote, they sounded good. They were great to dance to. So that's why they were
playing some
songs.
There you go. You get the girls dancing and you make your money.
That's right.
Please don't ever let me be. I only want to be by your side. Please don't ever let me be. I only want to be by your side.
All right, we're going to get into the guitars here right away, but man, the drums. Like, those drums are just killer fucking drums. All hail Alex Van Halen, once again. You really can't see much more than that. And the bass.
No.
Scott wants to throw, the bass sits perfectly in the mix. 100% it does. Yeah, it's not doing a lot except playing the main riff. Do-do-do-do-do. But he puts that little bend on that last note that makes it kind of dirty, which I always appreciated.
That's old Mikey being playful, because I mean, if he's going to be holding down the low end and the rhythm with the kind of the same rhythmic pattern, then at least let him do something to kind of make it his own, even if it's as simple as just bending the string, the boomer bends, as the kids are now calling them. Which I know it baffles me that's a term now. Like, yeah, the boomer bends.
The boomer bends.
Yeah, because all the boomer musicians just bending those strings to make them, vibrato. And I was like, oh, okay, so guitar vibrato is a bad thing now?
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, again, another conversation another time. All hell, Al, absolutely. But also, Eddie, not to be outdone, and never to be outdone, how do you make this Kink song original? How do you make it your own without straying too far away? You play the riff as it is. You give it that Van Halen tone, of course, but it's his ornamentation in between. Like Kelsey was alluding to earlier, Dave sings a line, the guitar comes in, a little finger tapping, whatever. Eddie's reminding you, he's like, yeah, this might not be our song, but yes, it is, because listen to this. And it's like, this is, yeah, the Kinks ain't doing this, I'm doing this. And this is a Van Halen song because it sounds like this. So I don't know, I just, that's always something I appreciate when they do it really well. And it sounds like they're having fun playing it. Like, I could just, Kelsey, you mentioned you can just imagine like Dave, like you know, his with his swagger, you know, singing the song, doing his thing, whatever. I imagine the entire band just having like these dumb grins on their face playing the song, and because it just sounds like they're having fun. And it's a fun sounding song, so why wouldn't they be having fun, right?
Yeah, well, the one performance that I think of, and someone can tell me this, it's where he has those big white boots on and those big white fur boots on, and I can, he's in like that full body jumpsuit and in these big white boots, and I there's a movement of him where he's like dramatically like stepping, and I'm like, this just fits, like it makes so much sense. And just to add on to what you said about Eddie, like I've always said that like Eddie is obviously known for his lead stuff and all that, you know, and all his crazy things that he did, but his rhythm, he is so good at making something so groovy and so like hard hitting, like Mean Street or like Unchained, like any of that stuff, like any, like just the riffs like are so just like, oh yeah. And like, this is a really great example. Like this isn't his riff, but he's playing it like the way he plays all his other riffs. Like it's so like, it's just good. And it's just, it's, you can dance to it. It's like, yeah. And then to add on, I had another thought when you were talking about Michael, like anytime I hear, when I read Eruption, Eddie made this comment, and I don't know if he was just being a dick or if he was just being a guitarist, but he was like, I don't know, I didn't care, like I never heard Michael anyways. And I like think about that all the time because I hear him and I'm like, Eddie didn't hear this, like he sounds great. You know what I mean? Well,
I think what Eddie was referring to, and when we had Steve Rosen on the show, who had a friendship with Eddie Van Halen and interviewed him a lot of times, Eddie said in his monitors he just had Alex, like he didn't have a lot of Dave, he didn't have any Michael. Yeah, he was just playing off Alex the whole time, so I think that's probably what he meant there.
Oh yeah, but that, yeah, I don't know, the way he said it, I was like, I don't know, he could just be being himself, like, you know, just be making a, or being a guitarist, like I said.
Yeah,
but
I'm gonna be stuck on that quote. Doing? Yeah, I'm gonna be stuck on that quote for like the rest of the show, just if, like, I don't know if he was being a dick or a guitarist,
or
like,
a guitarist.
There's a very thin veil of the two.
Oh, I couldn't hear him anyways, I don't know, but no, that makes sense though,
like are you being a dick right now, or are you being a guitarist,
are you being
like,
a guitarist,
what's the
so real, so real. But yeah, no, he definitely, they took ownership of this song for sure, and that's why, like, yeah, whenever this comes on, it's just a nice groovy little tune.
Well, you know, who didn't like the Van Halen version of it was Dave Davies from the Kinks, who had this to say, and I quote, "There's the thing. Good art isn't always about having the comfiest technique. I shouldn't encourage him, but I'm sure Eddie Van Halen played better when he was drunk." End quote. Now, in fairness, Dave is probably cranky because at a concert, a fan approached Dave Davies and said, "Hey, great job performing that Van Halen cover." So I think he was a little cranky because of that. And then Ray Davies, his brother, claimed to like the track because it made him laugh.
Oh Lord. I mean, jealousy's a disease, get well.
And I mean, Chaz is saying I was thinking when it came to being a dick and being a guitar player, the terms are synonymous.
I mean, where's the lie? You know, and I'm speaking as
and I'm a guitar player girl. And, that's just, yeah, you know, I'm speaking as
a vocalist and a guitar player, and I'm here to tell you where's the lie.
So. I love this. The Davies brothers, the OG Gallaghers. Absolutely. That is a great callback, Chaz. 100%.
So funny.
Chaz is on fire in the chat. Where's Kevin Brown? Fuck, he took off.
Yeah,
he spin a Kink song and he takes off. What a jerk.
You know what he's doing? He's gathering his he's gathering his thoughts. He's probably tweeting as we speak. He's just like, here's my manifesto.
Should I tweet him?
Assholes.
Hey, come back. Be like,
where you at, bro? Where you at? Come on, Kev.
MIA at Kev.
Chaz just owned the Davies brothers and good on him. That was fantastic, Chaz. Good job, buddy. All right, I mean,
report, I'm just saying, like, based on those quotes, I can't disagree with Chaz's assessment. So,
not at all. No, he hit the nail right on the head.
Ooh, The next part is my favorite part of the song, so I figured we'd discuss the guitar solo first of all. Sure, sure. Of course, always. This is such a great, I don't know, the way that he does it is like perfect for the song. It's like, because the song, I mean, they obviously like elevated the tempo at least a little bit, and so I think he's playing off exactly like perfectly the way that he's been playing through the whole song. Like, he's just adding a little more touch, and it's just as fast, it's just as rhythmic and groovy, and you know, he killed it. Of course, as always.
Now Jeff said something here, the Ice Cream Man has a better solo, but this song's better. What do you guys think? Does Ice Cream Man have a better solo than You Really Got Me?
Well,
that's pretty damn good.
Define better, though. That's kind of the thing. Like, define better. Is it more technical? Is it does better mean it's shorter or longer? Does better mean Eddie's utilizing like more of the fretboard than he's using in this one? Like, I don't know. Like, whatever better means. I think the two are kind of comparable, to be honest with you. But the thing is, the solos fit the songs. Eddie's really good about doing that, especially during this era. He's good at making the solo fit the song. So I don't know if I can say, I guess that really just comes down to, well, what song do you think is better? And he said, like, Ice Cream Man has a better solo, but this song is the better song. So I don't know. It's just kind of like, agree to disagree / sure, maybe, I don't know. It really just depends on how you define better.
Yeah, good call. And Chaz, here's a hot take. Jeff's 100% Ice Cream Man is Ed's second best solo ever behind Stay Frosty. And then he challenges everyone to prove him wrong.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, no, I definitely will. You know what? I'm going to make a thread of this, actually.
Please do.
What
Please
a great do. Idea.
I'm begging. Kelsey Festo is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Look like, forward I'm, to that.
I'm, Eddie's I'm solos that are that. Better than Stay Frosty. A thread.
A thread. Please make that happen. We need that. The world needs it.
I was going to say, Ice Cream Man, I do like the very beginning of that solo, the starts and stops and then the tapping. I think that's that like sets the tone almost immediately. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I like Ice Cream. I do love the Ice Cream Man solo, like that, especially that part, like, because it starts it off so like, oh, this is cool. And it's like perfect in time with the song. And so I don't know. I think I agree, though. I think they're very comparable. I think there's some. I don't know. I think there's some better solos on that album. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're not. And that's not to say that
better
Ice Cream Man solo is better or worse.
Right.
Like, for me, I just think when I say they're comparable, I just mean like they both solos fit the songs appropriately the way they should.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not sure how to argue with or against you on that one, just because like it just defined better. So that's cool. You know, we'll just leave it at that.
Scott McCoy says, "Don't trust Chaz's judgment. He doesn't like humans being." So
that is true. Human being. So. Shame on you, Chaz. Shame on you. But
I can't wait till we spin that one, because if I'm in the minority on Spanked, I think Chaz is going to be in the minority on Humans Being. So I think the majority of Van Halen fans love that.
No, because I thought reading about it, I thought that people didn't like that song. But I love that song.
I think maybe I might do one up on you. You said I've manifested Amsterdam a lot. That might be one of the higher tiers. Like, I think I've manifested Humans Being a lot more than I've manifested Amsterdam. Yep. So one's got to be of the songs manifested. That one's got to be up there somewhere.
I would think so. Chaz is just emojis now.
Is that a dance emoji? Like, I don't know what that is.
I think so. And he says, "Yeah, Scott's not wrong. Chaz is like Human Being." Yeah.
Ugh. Well, anyway,
and then Scott says he doesn't like human beings, not humans being. He just doesn't like people.
Fair enough. Well, I'm with him on that one. Yeah, I hate people.
Yeah, I think
not you guys. You guys are great,
but not you guys.
Yeah, except for everybody
our audience.
Here.
You get everyone listening. You guys are awesome.
You guys are fantastic.
Girl, You really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm to wear. You really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
Love the whisper on the "You got me so I can't sleep at night." Come on.
Oh my gosh. That whole, like, the little noises in the back. Do you think that's all Dave? Doing those little ad-libs in the back? Do you think any of the other guys would have done that? Because I don't.
No, that's all Dave, yeah.
That's what I figured. Yeah. I was like, do you think they're all just watching him in the stew? Like, just being like, what are you doing? No, guys, trust me, it's going to work.
I need a little more zip-dop-doobity-bop.
It's like, just let me do my thing, man. Just let me vibe.
Yeah. Like, just leave him alone.
Put a mic in the bathroom. Put a mic in the bathroom. I got a lady in here.
Okay, Axel, relax. Anyways.
They recorded that segment in the whiskey bathroom.
That's right. My God.
His office.
Good call, so Scott Haskin. Good call.
That's canon. That's my head canon now. That's what happened.
Yep, that's canon now. That happened. Oh, Tom keeps asking, is this the remaster? I don't believe it is. I'm getting this off YouTube Music, and usually it says if it's the remaster. I don't believe this one is, no.
It doesn't sound like this album is just mixed really, really well. So I don't think this is the remaster version.
Yep. The Dave Sass, and though Sammy has a better voice, he can't do that.
Yeah.
The Sass? No, probably. No, I'll give you
that. I don't know.
I'll give you that.
I think Sammy had, I think Sammy has a much more like, I don't know, don't come after me for saying this, people, but I think Sammy has a lot like of a more like swagger, like type of like, I think Dave's more flamboyant and like just in the things that he does, I feel like Sam was more like the cool dude. I feel like Sammy could not pull that off the way that David pulls it off and is still sexy as hell. So like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think Sammy could pull that off, but Sammy has things that he pulls off way better, you know?
Yeah.
There's a line of showmanship that separates the two.
Yes.
Not to say they're both showmen, but they're of different levels, let's say. And Dave is certainly in kind of like his own world in terms of showmanship for sure, and often imitated, never duplicated. Whereas Sammy has his own swagger, as you say as well. Could he mimic a Dave swagger? No. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's not a lot of people that can.
Yeah. And I think the question that came about the remaster was because this mix is fantastic, according to Scott Haskin. And yeah, Tom says sounds amazing. Really does. It's a great sounding album. I haven't listened to it digitally a lot. I put the record on quite a bit, but I haven't listened to, especially on YouTube Music. So with the headphones on, it sounds fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God! And there's Kevin. What song are we doing? Had some teenage daughter drama. I get
it. Oh no!
My teenage daughter is currently screaming in the background because she thinks she heard a mouse. So I get you. I'm texting my wife.
So real.
Like, she's having a panic attack. Don't rush. That's the last text I got from my wife.
Yikes!
Aww. My goodness. All right. Sorry, Kev. We're doing a little Kinks thing you might have heard of. I don't know. Let's pick it up from here.
You really got me.
Oh, absolutely.
You tease.
Yes.
I was just going to let it go.
No, seriously.
Sadly, we've done that one, but still, like, oh my.
We just listen to it, whatever.
Good. Bonus ep. It would be apt if it was feelings.
Yes, because he's having teenager drama. My kid's still having a panic attack over an alleged mouse. Like, oh God. And now I'm getting shit in the comments. Why'd you stop it?
I know. So real. Come on.
Well, you guys know we only cover one song. Yeah, we cover that one.
I swear to God, Van Halen are the only band who have any business covering the Kinks. We talked about the Kinks quite a bit, Kevin, and how much they hated Van Halen's version of this song and how much Van Halen's version kicks theirs in the nuts. So
So if you didn't know that this incredible song was originally a Kink song, you would absolutely think it was Van Halen's original. It definitely sounds like one of their originals, I think, anyway. Because that's because they made it their own. So, but we can discuss that more. And instead, let's Scott Monroe says, fearless prediction. This could dethrone Little Guitars with a 99% What Dreams Are Made Of. Let's go. You know what? That would be really cool. I don't know if it's going to happen, strictly because, and I'm not talking about you specifically, Scott, I'm talking about everyone else out there. For some reason, our audience is just very down about anytime Van Halen does a cover. It doesn't matter what it is. So that might be the only thing that prevents it from getting that high up, but I could be wrong. And part of me kind of really wants to be wrong. But before we do that, we gotta find out how we feel about this song. I'm pretty sure I know how we all feel about it, but I'm gonna go through the motions anyway. Kelsey, you're back on the show, honorary member of the show, of the panel here. What say you about You Really Got Me? Is it What Dreams Are Made Of and They Got You, or did they just not catch you hard enough and the dream is over?
Yeah, I love this song. I don't know how you can't. This is such a great song. I'm also not a huge Van Halen cover girl. I still listen to them. You're No Good is one of my favorite songs. Honestly, I can't really think. That's like one of my favorites by them. I think they cover that song so well. But this is another great cover. Eddie's just so good. I don't know. You can't be disappointed listening to that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's, and also like, I love Van Halen 1 because it's so, Eddie's so young in his sound, and it's so, it's just so raw and like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's so good. But yeah, I think they killed it. And I think Dave really sounds great on this song. I think Alex is killing it. Yeah, they definitely, I agree. They definitely took ownership of this song for sure.
Hmm. Well, there you go. There's one upvote, as I predicted. And I think I know how this one's going to go. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes Corey and I have very different opinions. So I ask you, Corey, is You Really Got Me a cover that is What Dreams Are Made Of? Or should they just have not and the dream is over for you?
Come on. I mean, if I'm going to be on a Van Halen show, I'm going to downvote You Really Got Me. Like, that ain't fucking happening. I can't downvote anything from this record. Spoiler alert. It's one of, if not the best debut album of all time.
I agree.
Like Appetite for Destruction is pretty fucking great, mm-hmm. too.
That's the other one I was thinking of.
Right? It kind of goes back and forth. But come on, it's perfect. Like, the Kinks, as a band, I have some issues with. Great songwriters, though. Like, they've had some fucking mm-hmm. killer tunes. Lola is such a great song and way ahead of its time. Waterloo Sunset, I think Kevin Brown has called the perfect pop rock song. Hard to disagree with that. It's a great, great tune. This is a great rock song. All Day and All the Night is one of my favorite songs of all time. But Van Halen just kind of took it and made it their own. And they played the fuck out of it. So, like, when we play the Price is Right game, I'm going to give you a spoiler for both of you, give you a hint. They played it a lot. Okay, so keep that in mind when you're thinking about how many times the band actually played this tune. But they knock it out of the park. This is Van Halen at their absolute apex. First album, and they're doing tunes like this, is absolutely unreal. The tone that shook up the industry, 100% fucking right. You Really Got Me Now is an all-time classic. Markham Meyer, I can't imagine you voting any other way, but you've surprised me before. So is this What Dreams Are Made Of, or is the dream...
I kind of would just want to echo literally word for word what you said, but instead I'll paraphrase my own way of saying it. Why would I do a Van Halen podcast and downvote this song? Like, that would make no sense. And also, spoiler alert, you are not going to hear me downvote anything from Van Halen 1 at all. I think it's, you know, I know I'm a Sammy guy, but I've never denied my enjoyment of the Dave era tunes, obviously. Like, check the voting, check, you know, all the, look at the Dave era stuff, like look what they brought to the table. So yeah, I don't, even though I think Sammy's a better vocalist, I'm never gonna like downplay a good track with you know, Dave in the vocals. Stop hiding your hatred, says Scott. Oh, I never hide my hatred, believe me. This is known. But no, how are you considered a Van Halen fan, and you think this although it's a cover, it may as well not be, because like it's right. Absolutely their song. Nobody listens to the Kinks version of this song ever, and if they say they do, they're lying. I'm talking to you, Kevin Brown. You're lying, because like Van Halen just made it better. It's just like when you listen to the song Hurt, are you listening to Nine Inch Nails version, or are you listening to Johnny Cash's? Now these days, you probably don't even know that Nine Inch Nails did the song Hurt, like they wrote it. Even Trent Reznor himself is like, that's no longer my song, that's Johnny's, because his version is so damn good, you know. And you can say what you want about it, but like that's a prime example. Sometimes when someone comes along and covers a song and makes it their own, it's theirs. All Along the Watchtower, people don't even know that's a Bob Dylan song. Bob Dylan himself said nope. As soon as Jimmy recorded his version, it's his song, because holy shit.
That's what I was thinking, that one of the best covers, rock and roll covers of all time is that one.
Good call.
Yeah. So like, and much like You Really Got Me, that was one of Jimmy's like biggest hits, and it wasn't his, but it might as well have been. And now these days it is his. We just consider it his. So I think the same principle applies here. This is absolutely just a great start to what would become the dynasty of Van Halen, man. It's just like, it's started from this album, this song. I mean, you can count, you know, Running with the Devil and Eruption, sure. But I mean, like this one is like a big kind of introduction. Like, here we are, we're blowing down the doors. We've got purpose. We're young and we're excited. We're hungry and we're ready to fuck shit up. And that's what Van Halen does. Even when they're doing a cover and making it better than the original, like You Really Got Me, it's absolutely what dreams are made of. There's nothing else to be said about it. So there you are. All right, Corey, go ahead. Play the thing.
Well, before that, a great comment in the chat. Chaz Charles says, Def Leppard owned Waterloo Sunset. Def Leppard, famously one of Kevin Brown's favorite bands, he said back, Def Leppard are not fit to lick Ray Davies' wrinkly old sack. So there you go.
Yeah, that's an image.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, and Kevin's going to teach about the Kinks on Ultimate Catalog Clash Season 2. That's not going to happen, because I'm winning Season 1. I'm picking the band. And it might be Def Leppard now, just because I know Kevin Brown hates him.
To that, I asked Kevin, when you say Season 2, does that mean like the next show is your Season 2 and then the one after that Season 3? Just because, you know, you're weird about how you do seasons? Or do I have to wait for like next November? Like, you know, you just get back to me on that.
I'll never understand the 10 episode season thing. Because, yeah, he's...
he's so done, funny.
50 episodes now? That's 5 seasons already.
You're not crazy. A Netflix show. Get it together.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? I'm going to go here and I'm going to play a little track here. There we go. It's time to play. How many times have Van Halen played You Really Got Me live in concert? Mark Meyer, you're the reigning champion, so we're going to make you go first. How many times do you think Van Halen performed this track? Remember, you got to be closest to the actual number without going over.
I'm aware, but you did, you gave us a hint, said they played it a lot. So, I don't know. It's the temptation of saying an absurdly large number is there. So, I'm going to go ahead and do that. I think they played this song 500 times.
And even 500? Okay.
Damn.
Yeah.
Kelsey, it comes to you now.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really? You can go 501 and really fuck
you can
over.
Do 501.
500.5. God, I'm trying to think. I'll do... Let's go 450. Let's do 450.
450? All right.
See what happens.
Mark Meyer, guess what?
Bam!
A winner. You're nowhere close, though. The correct answer is 1,231 times.
A little part of me wanted to say 1200, but that was the absurd number I was thinking about. I was right. Like, that might be too far, but of course.
Dude, I should have gone 501. That would have been so funny.
You should have. You tried to go 501.
I was hoping you would have. Ryan guessed a million, and then he changed that to 9 times.
9 times. Yeah, only
Jeff said
nine.
More than 500, which was right. Well, Scott said a bazillion, which is also technically, I guess, correct. How many shows did they play total? I guess would be a pretty good guess, yeah. But then I had a comment for you. Kevin says, a season is whatever I damn well say it is.
It is your show. That's true. It's your prerogative.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tune in to the two-episode season.
Right.
The show.
No, Bob Barker. No, the only clip I could find was Drew Carey. Sorry, Scott. No, Bob Barker.
Yeah. Was that the, is that clip from the episode where Adam Dukowicz from Killswitch Engage wins the entire Price is Right?
I have no idea. I just YouTube like a Price is Right winning sound, and I like that one because it yells, "You're a winner! You did it! Good job!" And I thought, "Oh, that'll be good for whatever Mark wins." Yeah,
there you go. Well, yeah, look it up, you guys. Yeah, from the metal band Killswitch Engage, whom I love and adore. I'm in a tribute band of them. Their guitarist and leader of the band went on the Price is Right and won the whole damn thing. So wow. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, how about that? Over 1,200 times. That makes sense. That tells me that this song was probably on their set every tour.
Yeah.
Like, almost every tour.
The first time they played it, according to a setlist.fm, was September 18th, 1976. So it's actually probably
the club days too.
Yeah.
And the backyard party days too. Right. So they played it even more.
Right.
The last time.
And the TV performances.
Yep. So 76 September was the first time, according to setlist.fm. Last time was their final show, October 15th, 2015, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Did I assume Sammy probably did that?
Yeah.
I've heard him play it, but I've seen a live video of him playing it before.
It was on the
live record. I'm going to look that up. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, you're right. It absolutely. Okay, well, there you go. So, all right. So case in point. Sammy does a very good job with it. Does it hit the same way as if Dave was doing it? Probably not, but it still lands because it's, you know, because Sammy is good. So, you know, what are we going to do? What are we talking about here? But all right, fair enough. So well over 1,200 probably, but as it is, I am the winner. Yes. For a game that I suck at really bad, I've been doing pretty good. So the guessing game is strong with this one, but nevertheless, I mean, what else is left there to say? We did it. There's another one down, man. We've got 24 more left to go.
That's right.
24 tracks left in the catalog. And then what happens after that's kind of up to you guys, the listener. And here's what I want to point out to you. Like, you don't all have to join the Patreon. We would love that. But the thing is, if you guys want us to keep going when the show, when this iteration of the show finally does end, let us know. You got to let us know what we need to do. I know that a lot of the votes are hit the solo careers of Sammy and Dave. Let's just do the rest of the wheel tonight.
Might as well.
If it wasn't a school night for me, then I might be like yes, but also like there's not enough beer for it. But so maybe when we get to like the final five or the final four, maybe we'll push on through. But that's a conversation for another day. If you want that, then let us know. But what I bring up the Patreon just because there's probably going to be more ideas, more wheel ideas that Corey and I have been kind of tinkering around with, expressing interest in doing. It's just a time constraint. And, you know, it just depends on what kind of content you guys want us to do once this version of the show is done. So I encourage you all to be like our friends, like Ryan Powell there, like Scott Monroe, like Kevin Brown, and like all the rest, all the lurkers in the chat right now. Join the Patreon and really give us your feedback and let us know what you want us to do moving forward. Join the Patreon, Podcast Will Rock. I think it's like patreon.com/podcastwillrock, or I'm not sure what the link is, but if you want to go to the link, you can go to www.podcastwillrock.com, and we have that on the site. We also have a merch store. Find you some merch. Our friend Kevin Brown's been very generous and given us some hilarious designs. I'm just going to keep preaching it until you all do it. I just really want an army of you out there wearing Apologies to Gary t-shirts, because eventually he'll see it and he'll ask, what the hell is that all about? And they're like, you got to tune into the show, man. You got to check out this show.
You definitely shouldn't.
I mean, I feel like he should. He deserves his say. He absolutely deserves his say. And we're never trying to disrespect Gary. We're just simply stating what he did on this particular album doesn't work for us for the most part. And that's why we apologize. It's like, we're sorry, Gary, because we know you have the talent, you have the ability. That new Extreme rips pretty hard. So, you know, go listen to Extreme. But yeah, I don't know. The idea of him just walking down the street one day and just seeing many, many people wearing this Apologies to Gary shirt. Maybe even a few of them recognize him on the street and just kind of like, check it out. He's like, what the fuck is that? It's that? Like just having people have to explain to him what it is.
Right.
And then eventually him, the idea is like, maybe he'll join us on the show one day, or maybe he'll at least just send us a tweet going like, please stop.
Please leave me alone.
Like, leave me alone. Let it just let it end. Let it die.
Okay? I don't want to know.
And we will cherish that. If that is his answer, that will be a term. Michael says Gary and Extreme will be in town in February. What town
get
is
a
that,
shirt?
Michael? Get a Apologies to Gary shirt. Wear it. Make sure he sees it, and hopefully his interest will be piqued, and he'll ask you. And when he does, you send him our way, and he'll be in for either a treat or not a treat. I don't know, but I am very excited at the prospect. So www.podcastwillrock.com. We have a merch store, as I said, Patreon link, all the backlog episodes. So if you miss one and you don't feel like hitting up a Spotify podcast or Apple or whatever, just go to the website. It's all there. And then we have, as I mentioned, the Patreons and all of you lovely patrons. I'll go ahead and read out the list of all of you right now. Thank you so much to Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rave of Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Para Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andriozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael T himself, the aforementioned Michael, and Davey Lee Smith. Thank you all so much for your continued contributions. And again, I know you guys always tell us we should keep going once the show's done, and you've been very vocal about that. Keep the conversation alive, because you know Corey and I have some ideas that we like to maybe explore if you guys want to hear it. So let us know, Corey. Always a pleasure, my dude. Can you let the people know where they can find other like-minded podcasts like ours?
Well, they can find other shows at the Deep Dive Podcast Network, www.deepdivepodcastnetwork.com, where you can find such shows as Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself and Scott Haskin, Backtracks Theme Music, featuring myself and John Mariano, The Ultimate Catalog Clash with myself and Kevin Brown. Season 1 is breaking down Phil Collins era Genesis. We're about to record the wrap-up episode for season 1, and then since I'm going to win, I'll get to pick the band for season 2, and it's going to be somebody Kevin hates. Then we have, of course, Kevin Brown does the Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review with his good buddy Randy Woods. Then we have Scott Haskin at Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side, Riot Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joan, David at In the Lap of the Pods, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at University Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quinned and Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Chats at Rush Rash, Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Roger, that's Regarding Roger Waters, not Roger Moore, and of course Other great shows such as the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast just dropped a great episode this week about mental health. Everybody should check out. Sean had some nice things to say about myself and Mark, so thank you very much for that, Mr. McGinnity. Yeah. Then we have You're All Doomed, the Friday the 13th podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Oda show. They got to meet Sammy Hagar and have an interview with them. That episode is upcoming. Make sure you check that out. Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast, and of course, the one and only Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting.
Hell yeah. Big shout out to our guest panelist, honorary member of the show, Kelsey. Thank you. Thank you for coming back, man. You were, again, you were in high demand. People were very curious as to when you were going to show back up on the show, and here you are. So that'll make the listeners very happy. So thank you so much. And hey, let the people know where they can find you if they want to give you a follow and what you got going on.
Well, thank you for having me. First of all, I wanted to say your episode that you guys did, I think it was the one where I sent you guys a message, or Kevin actually asked me to do a message for you guys. And I heard what you guys, I was like listening. I actually listened to it when I was in California, and I was like fangirling over what you guys said over me, even though like I haven't been on this show before. And like, you guys don't ask me back. Like, I'm always honored to be here. First of all, I always love, like I said, I can always talk about Van Halen, and you guys make it so fun and so inviting and so welcome for me to be here. So people can find me at Kelsey Van Halen. That's pretty much all my socials. And my Twitter is probably the best place to follow me. That's where I talk about Van Halen, lots of classic rock stuff, and hockey every once in a while. So.
Right on, right on. But yes, always a pleasure, always a fun time. Hopefully we'll get you back soon.
Absolutely.
You know, because we're, because we're winding down, we are winding down, so you know, we gotta get as much of our reoccurring guests as possible. And don't forget, we got live shows coming up, you guys, because we're finishing several albums here pretty shortly. I think we got one for left for 1984.
That will be fun.
We got the one left for Van Halen 3. Just please, let's put it out of its misery. I think there might be another one, but we're close. Or the other, we're getting close. We're getting close, you guys. So
everything else has at least two. I think enough, Van Halen 1 actually has the most. It's got 1, 2, 3 left on that one. So.
That's crazy. So even For Unlawful, I thought that was the one we.
Oh yeah, what do we got on For Unlawful?
We've got one, Top two, of the World, right, and Spanked.
Yeah, so we got four. Yeah, so yeah, that and, that one was the one we. That's right. We predicted that the Fuck album might be the one we spend the most time talking about in these later episodes, just because it's the one we have left. And I'm not mad about that. So you know, suck it, haters. That's what's gonna happen. So. thank you, Kevin. Thank you to the lurkers again. You are the patrons. All. We love having you guys involved in the chat. It makes the conversation easier for us, and it's also just entertaining that way. Mm-hmm. So thank you. So keep up the good work, keep up rocking out and celebrating the music of this band that we absolutely love. We can be we can analyze and we can be critical and
be the last one.
I hope not.
I'm not sure if that'll be like an ironic twist or if that's just like
it'll be crazy, but... because it's like the last four or five, you're like, all right, when we gonna spin it?
maybe our last song, maybe we'll do it live, and maybe hopefully it'll be human.
Oh,
maybe it'll be humans being, so that Chaz can lose his damn mind.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk it over. But hey, you, the audience, let us know, should we do that when we finally get down to the last one? Should we make it a live show and just get everybody in the conversation as we can? Let us know. Make your voices heard. You guys are really, really interactive, and we love that. It keeps the energy going, and it keeps us feeling alive, and makes us want to keep doing this longer. And I mean, frankly, Corey's going to keep going, because all of the podcasts are going to be absorbed by him, and we're all under the CMPU soon. He is the Galactus to this Marvel universe, and you're all doomed. And that's not a pun. That's just a fact. So, but until that time, on behalf of Kelsey and Corey and myself, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.